Hello, and welcome to another episode of Us Unfiltered, the podcast where we share raw personal stories and practical tips to help you manage your mental health. I'm your host, Adrienne Selina, and I am back from vacation. If you listened to my last episode, or if you followed me on social, you know that last week I was on vacay, and it was a very much needed time off. I feel so much more renewed and relaxed. I had definitely kind of burn myself out recently. I've just had a lot going on over the last few months, both professionally and personally. So I kind of wore myself a little too thin, which I have a bad habit of. So I took a nice trip to the Appalachian foothills. I actually hiked 19 miles in that entire week. So I had a lot of time outside and in nature, and I feel so much better, and I feel like I have a fresh perspective on things as well, which is something I've been needing and didn't even realize it until I got it. But we're not here to talk about my trip. We are here to talk about today's topic. Today, we are jumping into a topic that affects everyone at some point in their life, and that is how to challenge negative and unhelpful thoughts. This really is a universal struggle. Even if you do not have significant mental health issues or even face things like depression and anxiety, we all face negative thoughts at some point in our life, and that can be very tough to ignore and control. What's kind of funny about this episode is it was inspired by my job, which doesn't typically inspire my episodes most of the time, but I work at a nonprofit veteran service organization where we help veterans and their families connect to various services from financial coaching to physical wellness, all the way to mental health resources. And recently, while working on some mental health materials with a coworker, I was reminded of how universal the struggle with negative thoughts really is. Whether you are a veteran, a first responder, or just an everyday person, we all deal with these types of thoughts. The scary part about negative thoughts is that if you do not learn how to control them, they will start controlling you. Let me share a little bit about my own experience with this so I can kind of give you a good example of that. Between the years of 2020 to 2023, I went through a significant amount of pain and heartbreak. At the end of 2020, I ended up calling off an engagement. I talked about that in an earlier episode. But then, after that relationship ended, and it was a long-term relationship, it led into a cycle of toxic relationships after that. That cycle then led to depression and anxiety, and I was plagued by negative thoughts about myself. I would tell myself things like, I'm such a failure, or what's wrong with me? Why can't I have a regular relationship? Why do I seem to always self-sabotage? I must be the problem. I'm such a mess up. I'm so broken. And these thoughts ultimately weren't true. But because I didn't know how to manage them, they quickly took over my self-perception. And no, I'm not saying that I didn't have issues. That couldn't be farther from the truth. I did contribute to a lot of my own demise when it comes to those relationships. But what I'm saying is that the way I was talking to myself about it was so self-destructive. It was not self-constructive. And there is a big difference. Many people, including myself, tend to turn to substances like alcohol or drugs or whatever to numb these types of feelings because they're trying to numb the thoughts. That is called avoidance. And that avoidance pattern can lead to addiction and an even more destructive cycle. And while addiction or alcohol abuse is just an example, it could be that you're doing something else to avoid your negative thoughts. You could be binge playing video games or always eating whenever you feel stressed or isolating yourself completely from friends or family. A lot of people have different reactions to dealing with negative thoughts or negative self-talk, but I gave alcohol as an example because it's the most close one that I personally have experience with. But I wanted to give that example also because I want to show you the cycle of how this works. Let's say Friday morning, I wake up and I am just being totally berated by negative thoughts about myself. I'm telling myself I'm a failure, I'm a loser, I'm fat, I'm this, I'm that. And then Friday night, I get so overwhelmed that I decide to turn to liquor to help numb those things. So I'm just having fun, I'm drinking, I'm drunk, I don't even think about any of those thoughts anymore. Then I wake up Saturday morning, not only do I feel hungover, but all of those same thoughts are now coming back. And now I'm not just having the original thoughts, I'm also beating myself up for drinking so much. And then that makes me want to drink more. So I use that example because it really does become a destructive cycle whenever we do not learn how to control negative thoughts. Again, alcohol is just one example of many different types of ways that you could either be dealing with avoidance or some sort of self-destructive pattern. So I say all of that to say that learning how to manage and detect negative thoughts is crucial. And it will also help improve your self-talk, which is then going to ultimately enhance your long-term mental health. A lot of times, negative thoughts start with a reaction to either an event or a challenge. Because of the way we interpret things, that often determines how we react to them. For example, let's say you're at the airport, you're about to board a flight to go visit your family members. And before they start calling boarding, suddenly the flight is delayed 2 hours. Let's say you interpret this extremely negatively, and now you're not only frustrated, but it's leading to negative self-talk. So that could look something like, oh, this is just going to take so long. I'm never going to get there on time. Why does this always happen to me? That is an example of reacting negatively to a situation that is ultimately out of your control. By changing our perspectives on things can really lead to different and more often positive reactions. If your interpretations are constructive, you'll start to find the benefit in how you respond to situations more positively. I really like practical tips. That's just who I am as a person. And that's why I like to do tips and strategies on this podcast, because I just feel like they're more applicable and they're more helpful. If that's not your style, then I don't really know if this podcast is going to be for you, but I am going to go through different steps and things that you can do to really help improve your self-talk and also help you identify the areas where you could be struggling and could use some strategies to just help your perspective be a little bit more positive. Step one, start recognizing unhelpful thoughts. This means getting in tune with your own thoughts and how you talk to yourself. If this is something that you don't actively do now, I would recommend starting with mindfulness techniques and also just being more aware of how you interpret the world around you. These types of thoughts are basically silent conversations that we are having with ourselves as we navigate life challenges. Step two, realize that thoughts drive our actions and our emotions. Like I said before, how we feel and how we behave in any situation stems from our interpretations. That is normally shaped by our past experiences, our attitudes, and sometimes even our personality. Reactions to non-life-threatening events are influenced by your thoughts and your interpretations. A good example of this would be getting critical feedback at work. The negative take could be, oh, this feedback means that I'm just terrible at my job. I'm probably going to get fired. Why can't I do anything right? The positive take could be, this feedback, it hurts and it sucks, but it is an opportunity for me to improve. My boss wants to help me grow. That's why they're giving me this feedback, and I'm going to take this as constructive advice and work on getting better. By reframing the situation, you can see how the interpretation influences your emotions and your actions differently. By taking that positive outlook, it's going to encourage growth and a proactive attitude, while the negative take on it leads to anxiety, self-doubt, and a lot of times, self-destruction. Step three, challenge the negative thought. Ask yourself, is there real evidence to back up this thought that I'm having? A lot of times there isn't. And if there is not, that's an opportunity to reframe the situation in a more constructive and helpful light. So some good examples would be considering questions like, are my thoughts on this situation based on feelings or are they based on facts? Am I using exacerbated or exaggerated words like never, forever, should, must, always, can't? Also, am I ignoring the positive in this situation? By asking yourself these types of things, you're going to start identifying if there is factual evidence to back up that negative or unhelpful thought. Step four, replace the negative thought with a positive one. So, after challenging an unhelpful thought, it's time to replace it with one that's more realistic and positive. And this isn't about blind optimism. I'm not telling you to just put on rose-colored glasses and pretend like everything is hunky-dory in the world. It's about finding a balanced perspective that acknowledges the challenge but focuses on either a positive or a solution. An example could be getting a project at work that is totally overwhelming and you feel completely underqualified for. Your initial thought could be something really negative, like, oh, there's no way I can do this. I'm completely unqualified. I'm going to fail at this project. Or you could create a new thought and a statement that is both realistic and positive. For example, reframing it to, you know what? I may face challenges with this work project, and I might have to ask for help from some various colleagues who may be a little bit more qualified, but I can handle the project, and I'm going to learn a lot from this. By reinforcing the positive thoughts, for example, like practice repeating the new thought regularly, especially when you notice that the negative ones are creeping back in, the more you reinforce it, the more natural it's going to become thinking in constructive ways. Then take action on that thought. If you've reframed that negative thought about that work project, take proactive steps to start addressing that challenge and seek the support. That way, it not only builds confidence in you, but it reinforces that positive mindset that we just talked about and how you create the shift to the positive. All right, now that we went through the four steps on how to challenge unhelpful thoughts, I'm going to give you even more tips on how to overall improve your self-talk and help continue this pattern of positive reactions. Now, these aren't steps like things that you should do in order, like I just mentioned before, but these are things that you should probably consider and evaluate just through some self-reflection and see if this is an area in your life that you could work on simply to just help improve how you talk to yourself. And that's ultimately going to improve your self-confidence, your self-esteem. It'll help challenge negative thoughts in the future and just give you a better framework of how to react to life events. Number one, practice self-compassion. I really feel like this one hits home for me because this is something I have struggled with a lot throughout my life. I was actually just talking about this on the phone with my mother today. I tend to be a perfectionist, and I also tend to have some obsessive and compulsive tendencies. And because I struggle with perfectionism, whenever I make mistakes or whenever I feel like I have messed up, I tend to beat myself up. And one, that's not constructive. It doesn't help anything. But two, it doesn't allow me to ever understand that everyone makes mistakes and give myself that grace and that compassion that I deserve. By treating myself with the same kindness and understanding that I would offer a friend, I'm improving my self-talk by being self-compassionate. Number two, surround yourself with positivity. Now, I'm about to step on some toes here because I'm sure some people are going to disagree with what I'm about to say, but it's true and there's a lot of evidence to back it. Inspirational content is going to improve your self-talk. So that means reading books or watching shows, watching videos, or listening to podcasts that inspire and motivate you in a positive way. I no longer listen to music that I feel like either wears on my self-confidence or just makes me depressed. I don't do it because I know it has an effect on my mental health, and then it subsequently has an effect on how I talk to myself. I'll give you an example. I used to love rap music. I rarely listen to rap music anymore because a lot of it has an undertone of things that I don't feel like positively represent who I am as a person or the type of person that I would want to be. And a lot of times, some of that music and that genre is just completely derogatory towards women. I mean, that's a fact. I don't care if you want to argue with me about it. Feel free to send me an email. I don't care. That music tends to objectify women and puts them down. And I don't listen to that type of music anymore because I don't want to subject myself to those types of thoughts about myself. Also, with surrounding yourself with positivity, this also means spending time with people who uplift you and support you. This is also a tough one in this category because a lot of times we make excuses for the people that we love and we hang around. And I'm going to tell you from personal experience that that's a mistake and it's only hurting you more. If you have people in your life who you walk away from spending time with and you feel worse about yourself than before you went to spend time with them, that is a person that you either need to keep at arm's length or you need to completely cut out of your life. I like to look at individuals as either givers or takers. Someone is either giving into your life, and I mean pouring into your life, adding something of value to your life, benefiting you in some way, or they are taking from you, meaning that they are an emotional vampire. They are draining your energy. They are taking your time. They are taking of your resources. Who you spend time with determines a lot about how you talk to yourself, because a lot of times how those people talk to you is also framing how you talk to yourself. So spending time with people who uplift you and support you and encourage you is going to have a more beneficial and positive effect on your overall self-talk. And y'all, that does include your family members. If you have family members that treat you like crap, do not feel bad about putting them at arm's length. And I'm telling you that from personal experience. I have gotten to a place in my life where I have put so much effort and work and time into being a better human being happier, being more fulfilled, getting rid of some of these negative things in my life, toxic cycles that hurt me, that I am no longer going to subject myself to verbal abuse. So there have been people in my life that I was very, very close with at one point that I have either completely cut out or I have put at arm's length because I know they do not benefit me, they do not encourage me, and they do not make me feel good about myself. So surrounding yourself with positivity, the people you hang out with, the types of things that you watch or listen to, they're going to have an effect on your self-talk. Number three, celebrate your successes. This is a little hard sometimes because I think in life we've been kind of taught to not be vain, not be, you know, egotistical, you know, don't be a narcissist. And there's a big difference between being totally self-consumed and celebrating and acknowledging your achievements, no matter how small. When you have achieved something, you deserve to give yourself that celebration because not only have you set a goal that you've reached, but you've also reinforced to yourself who you are, the work that you're putting into it. That deserves praise. And by celebrating ourselves when we achieve things or when we reach certain milestones, whether it's big or it's small, that is going to improve our self-talk. And it's also going to give us better self-confidence. Number four, mindfulness and meditation. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Practicing being present in the moment really does reduce anxiety and negative thinking. So taking time to regularly practice mindfulness or practice meditation techniques can help calm your mind and promote positive thinking. And lastly, and certainly not least, number five, seek professional help when needed. A therapist can really help provide strategies and support to help you improve your self-talk. My therapist has really helped me understand the root of why I have tended to be negative with myself in the past. And a lot of it has to do with how I was raised and in the environment that I was raised in. But being able to recognize those patterns, I'm now able to like see them more realistically, take a step back from them, and edit how I think about myself in a different way. So obviously, a therapist could be very helpful if this is something that you're severely struggling with. Also, I do want to suggest support groups. I have talked about support groups in some of my earlier episodes, and I feel like a lot of times people just think support groups is like going to an AA meeting, and it's not. I have done support group therapy, and when I was doing support group therapy, at first I was extremely hesitant because I was not ready to sit down in front of a group of women and just talk about all my problems. It was very overwhelming at first, and it can feel a little like you're on the spot. However, I want to emphasize that by joining a support group, it does give you a sense of community and shared experiences. And when you have that sense of shared commonality with another person, it allows you to be more vulnerable and be able to talk about things that can be very struggling to handle on your own. So when you have 2, 3, 5, 7, 9, whatever, however many people in a group that are all going through the same things, you're going to feel a sense of relief. Like, holy crap, I'm not the only person experiencing this. So I've given tips on how to improve your self-talk. I've given tips on how to challenge unhelpful and negative thoughts. And I really hope that someone out there listening has found this episode helpful. Like I said in the beginning, this is something that we all struggle with at some point. Having positive self-talk can be so hard, especially in a world where it feels like everyone is critical of everything and we always have to be critical of ourselves. But you deserve to talk to yourself with kindness. You deserve to have a positive outlook on life, and you deserve to be present and in the moment and not feel like you are plagued with negative thinking. Thank you for joining me today on Us Unfiltered. Once again, I am Adrienne Selena, and if you found this episode helpful, please share it with others who might benefit from it. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Before I sign off, remember, mental health matters, and so do you.